Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here,
reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion
or your first big lightning strike.
There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Moving into a new house was supposed to be a fresh start for my family. After months of searching, we finally found a charming suburban home that seemed perfect. It had spacious rooms, a beautiful garden, and a cozy attic that I thought would make a great hideout for my younger brother and me. Little did we know that this attic held secrets that would turn our lives upside down. From the moment we moved in, we were all excited about the change. We spent the first few days unpacking, arranging furniture, and exploring the neighborhood. Everything seemed perfect, but soon, strange things began to happen. It started with small, seemingly insignificant incidents that we could easily dismiss. However, as time went on, these incidents escalated, leading us to uncover a terrifying truth about our new home. The first odd occurrence happened on our second night in the house. We had just finished dinner, and my mom asked me to take out the trash. As I walked towards the kitchen door, I noticed the door to the basement was slightly ajar. I distinctly remembered closing it earlier. I brushed it off, thinking it must have been the wind or my little brother playing around. A few days later, I was in my room, doing homework, when I heard a noise coming from the attic. It sounded like footsteps. At first, I thought it was my brother, but when I called out to him, he answered from the living room downstairs. My heart raced as I realized someone else might be in the attic. I ran downstairs to tell my parents, but when my dad went up to check, he found nothing out of the ordinary. As the days passed, the strange noises continued. We would hear faint footsteps, objects moving, and even whispers at night. My parents assured us it was just the house settling. But deep down, I knew something was wrong. One night, I woke up to the sound of someone rummaging through the kitchen. I tiptoed downstairs, expecting to find my dad having a midnight snack, but the kitchen was empty. The back door was wide open, and a cold breeze filled the room. I quickly shut the door and locked it, my hands trembling with fear. Things took a terrifying turn one evening when we decided to have a family movie night. We were all in the living room, enjoying a comedy, when we heard a loud thud from the attic. My dad paused the movie, and we all sat in silence, listening. The thud was followed by what sounded like dragging footsteps. My mom's face turned pale, and my brother clung to her, his eyes wide with fear. Determined to get to the bottom of this, my dad grabbed a flashlight and headed towards the attic. I followed closely behind, my heart pounding in my chest. As we climbed the stairs, the noises grew louder. We reached the attic door, and my dad slowly pushed it open. The room was dark, and the air was thick with dust. He shone the flashlight around, revealing old furniture, boxes, and cobwebs. Everything seemed normal until we noticed something that made our blood run cold. In the corner of the attic, partially hidden behind an old wardrobe, was a small makeshift bed. It consisted of a worn-out mattress, a few blankets, and a pillow. Next to it was a pile of empty food cans and water bottles. Someone had been living in our attic. My dad moved closer, examining the area. There were signs of recent activity, fresh footprints in the dust, a still warm blanket, and an open can of food. We immediately called the police, who arrived within minutes. They conducted a thorough search of the house and the surrounding area, but found no trace of the intruder. They assured us they would increase patrols in the neighborhood, but the thought of someone secretly living in our attic left us all on edge. The following days were filled with anxiety. We couldn't shake the feeling of being watched, and every little noise sent us into a panic. My parents installed new locks and security cameras, hoping to catch the intruder if they returned. But the fear persisted, making it hard to feel safe in our own home. One night, I woke up to the sound of whispering. It was faint, but I could hear it clearly in the silence of the night. I lay still, straining to make out the words. The whispers seemed to be coming from the walls, growing louder with each passing second. Summoning all my courage, I got out of bed and followed the sound. It led me to the attic door. My heart raced as I stood there, listening. Suddenly, the door creaked open, and a figure emerged from the darkness. It was a man, his face gaunt and eyes wild. He looked as if he hadn't slept in days. I screamed, and my parents rushed out of their room. The man bolted down the stairs, but my dad tackled him before he could reach the front door. We called the police, and they arrived to arrest the intruder. As it turned out, the man had been living in the attic for months. He was a previous tenant who had fallen on hard times and had nowhere else to go. He knew the house well and had found a hidden door that allowed him to move in and out without being noticed. He had been stealing food and personal items, trying to survive without being detected. The incident left us all deeply shaken. We couldn't believe that someone had been living in our home, watching us, and moving around undetected. The thought of it was horrifying. The police assured us that the man would not return, but the sense of violation and fear lingered. My parents decided to sell the house and move to a new neighborhood. Eventually, we found a new home, but it took a long time for us to rebuild our sense of security. We learned the importance of being vigilant and aware of our surroundings, even in the...
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint or stain project, saving is at the top of your to-do list. Save now with buy one, get one half off select paints, stains, and primers from top brands like Valspar, HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, and Cabot via Visa gift card rebate. Find more Memorial Day deals now at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 5/15 through 5/28.
Seemingly safest places, like our own home. The memory of the day we moved into our new home is still clear, as if it were yesterday. It was an old house, with intricate woodwork and a wraparound porch that had seen better days. My family was ecstatic about the charm and character the house offered, but from the moment I stepped inside, I felt an inexplicable chill run down my spine. "Welcome to your new home," the realtor exclaimed, her voice echoing through the empty halls. My parents were thrilled, already discussing how they would restore the house to its former glory. But as I stood in the grand foyer, I couldn't shake the feeling that we weren't alone. The house was everything my parents had dreamed of. My mom loved the high ceilings and ornate crown molding, while my dad was excited about the large backyard where he could set up his workshop. I, on the other hand, couldn't ignore the eerie silence that seemed to envelop the place. The walls seemed to whisper, and the air felt thick with an unseen presence. The first few nights were relatively quiet, but soon, strange occurrences began. It started with small things, a cold spot in the hallway, flickering lights, and the creaking of floorboards when no one was walking on them. My parents dismissed it as the house settling, but I wasn't so sure. One particularly cold evening, I was in my room trying to concentrate on my homework. The wind howled outside, and the branches of the old oak tree scratched against my window. Suddenly, I heard a soft thud from the attic above. My heart raced as I listened intently, trying to convince myself it was just a rodent or the wind. The next day, I decided to explore the house more thoroughly. As I was investigating the study, I stumbled upon a hidden door behind a large, ornate bookshelf. It was cleverly disguised, and if it hadn't been slightly ajar, I would have missed it entirely. Curiosity got the better of me, and I pushed the door open, revealing a narrow staircase leading to a dusty attic. The attic was filled with old, forgotten items, antique furniture, dusty books, and a collection of eerie portraits that seemed to follow me with their eyes. Cobwebs hung from the rafters, and the air was musty with the scent of old wood and decay. Among the clutter, I found an old diary. Its leather cover was cracked and faded, and the pages were yellowed with age. I couldn't resist reading it, and as I did, I discovered the house's dark past. The diary belonged to a woman named Eleanor, who had lived in the house over a century ago. Her entries spoke of strange occurrences, mysterious disappearances, and a malevolent presence that seemed to haunt the house. As I read, I could feel the hair on the back of my neck stand up. Eleanor described hearing footsteps in the night, seeing shadowy figures out of the corner of her eye, and feeling a constant sense of dread. As I delved deeper into the diary, the paranormal activities in the house intensified. I would wake up in the middle of the night to see shadowy figures standing at the foot of my bed, only to vanish when I turned on the light. Objects would move on their own, and my family started experiencing terrifying nightmares that left us all on edge. One night, the tension reached its breaking point. We were all in the living room, trying to distract ourselves with a movie, when the lights began to flicker violently. The temperature dropped suddenly, and we could see our breath in the air. A deafening bang echoed through the house, and we heard footsteps running up the stairs. We followed the noise, hearts pounding, and found ourselves in front of the attic door. It was wide open, the staircase leading up into the darkness. My father, trying to be brave, led the way with a flashlight. As we reached the attic, the beam of light revealed a horrifying sight. The old portraits were now hanging from the rafters, swaying gently as if moved by an unseen hand. Suddenly, a figure appeared in the corner of the attic. It was a translucent woman in an old white dress, her face twisted in anguish. She reached out towards us, her mouth opening in a silent scream. My mother fainted, and my father grabbed her, dragging her back down the stairs as I followed, too terrified to look back. We barricaded ourselves in the living room, huddled together on the couch. The sounds of the house creaking and groaning filled the air, and we could hear whispers all around us. It felt like the house was alive, and it was angry that we had disturbed its secrets. My father tried to calm us down, insisting that there had to be a logical explanation for everything. But deep down, we all knew that something supernatural was at play. The diary had mentioned a tragic event that had taken place in the house, and I couldn't help but wonder if Eleanor's spirit was still trapped here, seeking revenge for the wrongs done to her. We left the house that night and never returned. My parents put it up for sale immediately, unwilling to spend another night in a place that had caused us so much fear. We moved into a modern apartment downtown, far away from the haunted memories of that old house. I still have nightmares about the woman in the attic and the eerie sense of being watched. The experience left a lasting scar on our family. And I can't help but wonder if the house still stands, waiting for its next unsuspecting occupants to uncover its haunted history. In the aftermath, I often think about Eleanor and the pain she must have endured. I hope that by leaving, we somehow allowed her spirit to find peace. Yet, a part of me knows that whatever haunted that house is still there, waiting. When we moved into our new house, I was excited about the change. It was a quiet neighborhood, perfect for our family. The houses were well kept, and the streets were lined with old, towering trees. Our new home was a charming two-story with a big backyard where my younger brother and I could play. Little did we know that this idyllic setting would soon become the backdrop for one of the most terrifying experiences of our lives. Our next-door neighbor was an older man named Mr. Higgins. He lived alone in a house that was slightly more rundown than the others on the block. At first, he seemed like a typical elderly neighbor. He would wave to us from his porch and occasionally chat with my parents. But as the weeks went by, his behavior grew increasingly strange. It started with small things. I would catch Mr. Higgins staring at our house from his window, his eyes following our every move. At first, I brushed it off as harmless curiosity. But then, I noticed he would be outside at odd hours, just standing there, watching. It was unsettling, but I didn't think much of it. After all, he was just an old man. One evening, I was playing in the backyard when I noticed footprints in the dirt, leading from Mr. Higgins' yard to ours. The prints were fresh, and they circled around our house, stopping at each window. A shiver ran down my spine as I realized someone had been prowling around our property. I told my parents, but they assured me it was probably just a stray cat or some other animal. The next few days were quiet, but the feeling of being watched never left me. One night, I was in my room, getting ready for bed, when I heard a soft tapping on my window. My heart raced as I pulled back the curtain and saw Mr. Higgins standing there. I screamed, and my dad rushed into the room, but by the time he got there, Mr. Higgins was gone. My parents decided to confront him the next day. They walked over to his house and knocked on the door, but there was no answer. The curtains were drawn, and the house looked dark and empty. It was as if he had vanished. They called the police to report the incident, but without any concrete evidence, there wasn't much they could do. A few nights later, I woke up to a strange noise. It was a soft creaking, like someone was walking through the house. I sat up in bed, straining to hear. The noise seemed to be coming from downstairs. My heart pounded in my chest as I crept out of bed and tiptoed to the top of the stairs. I could see a faint light flickering in the living room. As I descended the stairs, I saw a figure moving around in the dark. It was Mr. Higgins. He was inside our house, rifling through our things. I froze, unsure of what to do. Just then, he turned and saw me. His eyes were wild, and he started towards me, muttering incoherently. I bolted back up the stairs, yelling for my parents. They burst out of their room, and my dad grabbed a baseball bat he kept under the bed. We could hear Mr. Higgins coming up the stairs, his footsteps slow and deliberate. My mom called the police, her voice shaking with fear. We locked ourselves in my parents' bedroom, my dad standing guard with the bat. We could hear Mr. Higgins outside the door, trying to get in. The sound of his breathing was heavy and labored. He started pounding on the door, shouting something we couldn't understand. Minutes felt like hours as we waited for the police to arrive. When they finally did, we heard the front door burst open, followed by shouts and the sound of a struggle. The pounding on our door stopped, and we heard Mr. Higgins being dragged away, still muttering to himself. The police took Mr. Higgins into custody and searched his house. What they found was horrifying. His home was filled with photographs of our family, taken without our knowledge. There were detailed notes about our daily routines and personal items that had gone missing from our house. It was clear that he had been watching us for a long time. The police informed us that Mr. Higgins had a history of mental illness and had been off his medication. He had a delusional obsession with our family, believing that we were intruders in his neighborhood. The footprints around our house, the tapping on the window, and the break-in were all part of his attempt to protect his territory. The experience left us deeply shaken. We no longer felt safe in our own home, constantly looking over our shoulders and double-checking locks. My parents decided to sell the house and move to a new neighborhood, far away from the memories of Mr. Higgins and his disturbing behavior. Even after moving, the fear lingered. I would often wake up in the middle of the night, convinced that I heard footsteps or saw a shadow outside my window. It took a long time for us to feel secure again, but the scars of that experience never fully healed. The incident served as a chilling reminder that danger can lurk in the most unexpected places, even in the comfort of our own homes. In the end, we learned that it's important to trust your instincts and be aware of your surroundings. Mr. Higgins was a reminder that sometimes, the real horror stories are the ones that happen in real life, right next door. My name is Bailey, and my partner, Kelly, and I had been searching for our dream home for over a year. When we finally found a charming house in a quiet neighborhood, it seemed like everything had fallen into place. The house was perfect. It had a beautiful garden, spacious rooms, and a cozy atmosphere. However, we soon discovered that our perfect home came with a dark and disturbing history that would haunt us in ways we never imagined. The first few weeks in our new home were filled with excitement and joy. We spent our days painting the walls, arranging furniture, and getting to know our friendly neighbors. We even hosted a housewarming party, and everything seemed to be going wonderfully. One evening, after a long day of unpacking, Kelly and I were sitting in the living room, enjoying a glass of wine. It was a peaceful night, and we were basking in the comfort of our new home. Suddenly, we heard a loud banging on the front door. Startled, we exchanged worried glances. "Who could that be at this hour?" Kelly whispered, her eyes wide with concern. I got up and cautiously approached the door. The banging continued, more insistent this time. I peered through the peephole and saw a disheveled man standing on our porch. His clothes were dirty, and his eyes were wild with anger. "Open the door," he shouted, his voice trembling with rage. "This is my house. You have no right to be here." I felt a chill run down my spine. "Who are you?" I called through the door. "What do you want?" The man's face contorted with fury. "I'm the owner of this house. You need to get out right now." I turned to Kelly, who was now standing behind me, her face pale. "Call the police," I whispered. As Kelly dialed 911, the man continued to pound on the door, shouting obscenities and demanding that we let him in. My heart raced as I tried to keep calm. The police arrived within minutes, and the man was still there, yelling and banging on the door. The officers quickly apprehended him and took him into custody. They assured us that we were safe and that they would investigate the situation. After the man was taken away, we sat down with the police officers to discuss what had happened. They explained that the man, whose name was Greg, had a history of mental illness and had previously lived in our house. He had been evicted several months before we bought the property and had been homeless ever since. Greg believed that the house still belonged to him and that we were intruders. The officers advised us to install additional security measures and to contact them immediately if Greg returned. Despite their reassurances, Kelly and I couldn't shake the feeling of unease. We installed extra locks on the doors and windows, set up security cameras, and even got a dog for added protection. But the fear lingered. A few nights later, we were woken up by the sound of footsteps outside our bedroom window. I grabbed the flashlight and cautiously approached the window, my heart pounding in my chest. As I peered out into the darkness, I saw a shadowy figure lurking near the side of the house. It was Greg. He was standing there, staring up at our window, his eyes filled with anger and desperation. I quickly turned off the flashlight and whispered to Kelly to call the police. We stayed quiet, hoping he wouldn't try to break in. The police arrived quickly and apprehended Greg once again. This time, they assured us that he would be taken to a facility where he could receive the help he needed. But the damage had already been done. The sense of security we had felt in our new home was shattered. The incident with Greg left a lasting impact on Kelly and me. We no longer felt safe in our own home, constantly on edge and vigilant. Every creak of the house, every rustle outside, sent our hearts racing. We became prisoners in our own home, always looking over our shoulders, fearing that Greg might return. We sought support from our neighbors, who were sympathetic and understanding. They shared their own stories of encounters with Greg and offered their help and support. It was comforting to know that we were not alone in this ordeal, but it didn't erase the fear that had taken root in our hearts. Kelly and I considered moving, but the thought of starting over in a new place was daunting. We had put so much effort into making this house our home, and we didn't want to let fear drive us away. Instead, we decided to take proactive steps to reclaim our sense of security. We joined a neighborhood watch group and attended self-defense classes. We invested in more advanced security systems and even got to know the local police officers on a first-name basis. Slowly, we began to rebuild our confidence and sense of safety. Over time, the memories of those terrifying nights began to fade. The experience had brought Kelly and me closer together, strengthening our bond and our resolve to protect our home and each other. In the end, we managed to reclaim our sense of peace and security. Our home, once a place of fear and anxiety, became a sanctuary once again. But we would never forget the night when our dream house turned into a nightmare, and we were reminded of the fragility of safety and the importance of vigilance. If you enjoyed this video, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and hit the like button for more terrifying tales. Be sure to check out our next video for disturbing true home alone horror stories, where we dive into even more unsettling experiences of being alone at home. These stories will leave you on the edge of your seat. See you in the next video.
Don't miss the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. You'll find the Maytag appliances you need, when you need them, at a great price. Plus, when you buy two select laundry appliances, you'll get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop Maytag at Lowe's. We help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.